open mic. You guys can chat or, you know, enter in text there or raise your hand, come to the mic, whatever. I was just thinking about when you're trying to introduce someone to write the vision. I mean, you have to give them the whole concept. It's not... people are so foreign to it. I mean, they've gone for ever since 300 AD I haven't heard from her. Somebody mentioned that she comes on later in the evening sometimes. Yeah, I think she moved into Mountain Zone, didn't she? Mountain Time Zone? Around Phoenix or somewhere. But when you're trying to introduce somebody to write the vision, there are some basics, but there are so many things. I guess it depends on the person's background. You kind of have to feel out what their hold up is, what's catching them, stopping them from understanding it. And then head toward that, because, you know, there's the thing about it's the you in John, or the you in Galatians, is not you. It's those people back then that were the Jews in John, or that were the Jews and Greeks in Galatians. The Jews and Greeks actually, when they believed, they came into the body of Christ. But the Jews in John, when they believed a different gospel. And it's the gospel by which God calls us, and the gospel that they were called by was the gospel of the kingdom. They came into the kingdom when they believed in John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So some people get hung up on that. Some people get hung up on various things. I don't have a list, but you never know what... You know, I mean, you can tell them that's not spoken to you. You know, Paul is the only one that speaks to you with God's information, God's instructions, how to be saved. And, you know, they say, no, my preacher tells me, you know, then I guess it's, you know, if you would tally it up, how many people say that? Say, no, we were always taught this. Things that, you know, that show that they're believing a man or a person or people, a group of people that got together and decided something, instead of believing what God put in His Word to them. You've got to let the Spirit lead, and you're spinning wheels. That's true. That's true. Very true. Yeah. It's just flesh if you're taking it away from the Spirit. They choose what they want to believe. That's called man-made religion. Yep. Yeah, that's so true. But some people start out that way, and something you say, the Spirit can use to wake them up. So, I mean, people are getting saved. They usually don't care. Yeah, yeah, that's true. You tell them about that, and they say, you know what I think? Most of the people that don't care or don't want to hear the gospel, I think that they're thinking that I'm going to start out saying, you're a sinner. You're bound for hell. You're no good. You know, and they don't want to hear that again. They never listen long enough to hear the good news. I mean, that's like listening to Romans 3, 19 and 20, but not listening to Romans 3, 21 to 22, or 21 to 28. They stop too soon. I see your hand. Come on up, Brian.
Hello. Well, can you hear me? First of all, I'm trying something different. All right. When you go to introduce somebody, you got to find some common ground somewhere. And I don't know where you can find common ground with somebody who... don't want... Excuse me, I'm giving myself a shot. Shoot me, shoot me. Yeah, right, Lee. Thanks. Well, we can start with Jesus is our Savior. That's common ground with just about anybody. I used to think that bringing up Noah and some of the things in the Old Testament was a good way to start and then segue into right division, but even though they know and will say, oh, that was just a Noah, that's not for me, doesn't mean they're going to listen to what is for them. I found that out. And I think a lot of it is also, Mike, that's what got me to find the right division. Was that verse? I told the church when I was kind of preaching in, I said, I don't know what rightly dividing the word of truth means exactly, but I'm going to find out. When I find out, y'all will be the first to hear. Lo and behold, here I am 12 years later, 13 years later. No, nobody wanted to hear. Some of them have stayed my friend on Facebook. And the other day I listened to Truth Time Radio nearly all day long, and this friend of Floyd that comes over and helps take care of him and get him dressed for church on Sunday and stuff like that, said for about 2 hours listening to Trey Atwood, a little bit of Lockhart, and there was two or three others that were on that day. And when he went to leave that night, he said, hey, man, I like that radio station. He said, "Where is it?" I told him where he could find it on the computer. Yeah, I think it is. Or I think he is. But Craig's got a bunch of different people on there, and dang if he hadn't taken a couple of wrong dividers on again, I guess, just to keep his head above water, maybe? Yeah. But me and Joe talk about Pauline Doctrine all the time, but every now and then he still wants to bring some of that Old Testament junk in. That's the guy that comes with Floyd. He's a head deacon in his church. And he's president of the Brotherhood Association. More or less, yeah. I think most of the churches in that brotherhood are Baptist. Well, there is one that verse where he calls them blind in Corinthians. What is it, 1 Corinthians 4:3? If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. But no, but they can be given over to reprobate minds. If they're acting like that guy in 1 Corinthians 5, they can be turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh and put back to the, back to introducing. Yeah, you got more clothes, Floyd. What are you gonna do? What? We need to have a pool party. Ooh. You and me.
What?
Have a pool party. Use your clothes as barbecue.
Are they my
Oh, I couldn't see no hand. I don't see nobody's hands up. You want the mic? There it is. All right, Dave.
Yeah, that was more a question, Brian. I don't think Paul calls any actual saved and sealed saint blind, but he certainly would call them deceived or in error or a false, maybe even a false teacher. It's just one of those little things about Paul. He's so completely, perfectly accurate all the time. It's like the Corinthians. he called him as carnal, A-S, as carnal, but I don't think he called him carnal because no saved person can be carnal. There's just a little distinction there. I could be wrong, but this is the way I see it. Okay, back to you.
Those are the three categories that come to mind in that section there between, 1 Corinthians 2, 14 or so, and 1 Corinthians 3, the first couple of verses. But what I was talking about introducing, I think in my journey coming into Right Division, I think one thing that was real influential to me was seeing the contrasts, the differences between Israel and the body of Christ. And but you can't, I don't think you can, you gotta give them a reason to see those differences before it makes a difference to them, I think. Otherwise, it's just going to be, you're showing me conflicts in the Bible, you're showing me contradictions, you're showing me errors, they're going to think. But if you can show them they're different entities, different destinations, that was one of the primary ones, one of the two primary ones, that Israel is destined for the land, and we're destined for heaven. The body of Christ is destined for heaven. Those are two unchangeable, uncombinable things. They need a reason, yeah, for there to be differences between the two. And there was another. There was something else. I can't think what it was right now. This for me was back in the days around 2000 when I was listening to the Berean Bible studies. I think that was the only Right Division meeting or time, you know, room that was open at the time or that was had started broadcasting. And there was, you know, Ray Keeble, Fred Beckemeyer, who else? Don Hodge had a night. Well, what's his name? Terry McLean was in on it too then. Ken, I don't know if Ken Scarf had a night at that point or not. I don't remember him from then, from that time. I remember him in 2003, 2004. You know, which would be 3 or 4 years later. But the thing about the destination was one of the big things for me that I understood. And there was a guy, oh, I can't think of his name. There were two guys with the same first name, an unusual, somewhat unusual first name. And the one that spoke less often had a lesson, I still have it on my disc, that pretty much decided, made the difference for me. And he showed how, the hold up for me was, how can God be working in both these different ways? And he showed me how Israel had fallen, and then, you know, a couple chapters later, saved Paul and started the body of Christ. What was that guy's name? Well, oops, I ran off Brian. Hi, Lars, you're welcome to the room. We're just talking about the differences between Israel and the body of Christ, and showing the differences and why there are differences. Is Brian coming back? I wonder. Brian just left for some reason. Okay, Lars just left. I see your hand. Come on up.
Okay. Yeah, hopefully Brian will be back. I know he got dumped off the other night. But you know what? You're right. They need a reason. This is a great point. They need a reason, because even if you convince them against their will, for example, you can say, well, are you on Paul's foundation? Oh, yeah, you know, I guess so. They need a reason, but if you go over into Galatians, and Paul gives them a reason right there, I think, if any man preaches any other gospel, that's a pretty good reason right there, you know. That's reason enough. Okay, back to you.
I'm still looking through these old lessons to see if I can find the name of the guy or the lesson that it'll take me a minute of scrolling here. There's Brian Lettman. That's Chicago Brian, and his message was fine-tuning Paul's epistles with a chord. There's Leo Scales. Remember Leo? Wow, his name was somehow like Leo. What was it? Elol. E-E-L-O-L or something like that. His nickname. I think he's still alive. His wife Karen translated Grace School of the Bible lessons into Indian. Tamil. India. There's Art Johnson. He was in that group doing those. I can't believe it's not here. Dwayne. That was it. Dwayne. And here's the lesson. Dwayne, Israel set aside. I'll have to play that one of these nights. Let's see. Dwayne. It's a 54-minute lesson. So I can't just dive into it right now. Dwayne, I don't remember either Dwayne's last name, but I guess it's inconsequential. Oh, Brian, you're back. Lost interest. Oh, I thought you wrote in there lost interest, so I quit. Lost internet. Okay, Brian got raptured. Ruptured. Anyway. So that was something that made a difference to me, understanding that Israel ended, that they're not God's people anymore. And I guess Hosea 1:9 is helpful in showing that. But I think something else too. I go both ways on this, because I think prayer makes a difference. Praying for someone wards off Satan, you know, and his deceptions in the mind of the person that you're working with. I think if you're praying for him, it's not a matter of works, him getting saved by your works or anything like that. The Bible says something about the supply of the Holy Ghost, supply of the Holy Spirit. Your prayers and the supply of the Holy Spirit, I think it is, isn't it? Where is that? Is that Philippians prayer, P-R-A-Y-E-R, asterisk. Holy Spirit. Let's see if that's all together somewhere. Nope. Something's different. Prayer. I can't get that to stop. Let's see here. There. Try it that way. Nope. Supply. Let me put supply in there. S. Oh, here it is. Philippians 1:19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So, I think it's not. I mean, we're to pray for spiritual development, spiritual edification. For the Pauline prayer would be, not give me, you know, help me with my car. It's been burping a lot or whatever. It's praying for spiritual growth and spiritual edification. But, you know, part of Paul's growth was in going out and preaching. So I don't think there's anything wrong with praying for people and believing it'll help them. Help them get past their ignoring of God's of right division. You know, if you've talked to them about it and they resist it and they just don't seem to respond, I think praying about it, praying to God for them and their situation, I think it will help. I think it can help. I don't know that it's automatic. I mean, we don't force the person to believe. He still has the choice. Brian lost internet again. Lost interest again. I mean, internet. He still shows in the Pal Talk, in the Pal List. Come on up, Yankee Buckeye.
Yeah, I think his Wi-Fi is booting him off, as I've had that problem. It's interesting you talk about this, somebody seeing right division. There's a book by Hal Lindsey called The Rapture. This was written after the late great Planet Earth. I got a copy at a garage sale or something, but I was looking through it, flipping through it. He's got entire chapters in there about the mystery and about dispensationalism. He says, in order to understand anything, you've got to see that. You've got to see it. But he never gets all the way there, and then we know now, he's up over 90 now, but we know now that he never got there. He diverged into charismania and stuff like that. So, he came right up to it. And if he would have got to Berean Bible Society or whatever it was, he would have got there, but he just never did. So,
there must be some sort of a basic order that people have to see things in line, you know, at least most people. Some people hang up on one thing or another, and you can go through your list of what, however you want, and they're going to be hung up on that one thing. You get to that one thing and solve it, and they're okay. But I lost my train of thought. Now, we were talking about Hal Lindsey and dispensationalism and I think they need to see part of this is that's involved would be the fall of Israel, and part of it is that the apostleship of Paul, that Paul was the one that was sent out from Christ to us with our information, salvation instructions. He was the only one, the apostle of the Gentiles. And once you get that concept, you can filter out. You don't keep coming back with things like, well, John said this or Peter said this. You know, you've got lost interest again, huh? I mean, internet again. Welcome back, Brian. Just kidding. But I was saying that I think there must be some sort of an order, and in that order, a person has to understand that Israel fell before they can understand that Paul is our apostle. Paul was sent out to us Gentiles with Christ's salvation information and instructions, specifically for people that are not connected with, that's coming out wrong, specifically non-specific to Israel or your connection or lack of connection with Israel. Okay, so without any necessity for that. But anyway, so what I'm saying is they have to understand that Israel fell before they'll understand that you can get your information. God didn't leave us without information. He sent it through Paul now. Sent out one is what the word apostle means. A sent out one. And then you can show differences like the 12 versus the 1. 12 apostles versus 1 apostle. Works versus not works. I mean, well, it's not, Israel is not works. It's works and faith, or works of faith for them. But for us, it's no works, faith only. A difference, you know. Show, and you go through, there's that list. I've got it on the top of one of my pages on the website there, about 14 different differences in the doctrine between Israel and the body of Christ. And that was one thing that influenced me also, I remember. And I showed that to my mother, and that started her thinking in terms of right division. She was nearly 90 by that time, though, and didn't develop it too far, but she was saved, but she just hadn't realized the differences and the apostleship of Paul before. Any more thoughts before we take a break till tomorrow? Oh, tomorrow's Saturday. So we'll plan on being back Monday. I'll be off next, this very coming, how should I put it? A week from yesterday. This coming Thursday, I won't be at the meeting. So I assume if someone wants to open it and play one of the messages, that's great. I won't be able to be there, though. And probably Friday night either, now that I'm thinking of it. I'll have to play that by ear and announce that later. So, lost sound. Okay. I see two hands. Okay, Dave, you're first.
Hopefully Brian's got sound. I was going to follow up. Yeah, Ken was teaching around 2002 on Pal Talk because that's when I met him. So the other guy you might have been thinking of was Leon Crow. He was down in Georgia somewhere, but I met that guy right around that time. I think it was Leon Crow you were thinking of. So, okay, back to you.
One of the main things, am I here? Am I there? Am I anywhere? Well, some reason, I got a pop-up that said followchristpattern.com not available. I thought, what? You can't introduce right division to anybody unless they're saved and the Spirit's dwelling in them to put discern the truth. And there's a lot of these people that I ain't so sure they're saved. But they don't have to know that Paul was the apostle and all that stuff to be saved. That's all part of coming to the knowledge of the truth. His foundation is Jesus Christ. So when I was 10 years old, 9 years old, I was told all I had to do was trust Jesus, that he was my Savior and died for my sins, and I'd have eternal life. And it was nearly 40 years later before I found anything about right division. But, anyhow, yeah, you can get the right gospel and trust the right gospel without having to know all the other stuff. To us, it's, or to a lot of us, it's just there because we've been studying it for 10, 12, 20, 30 years. But I keep thinking, 9 years old, all I have to do is trust that Jesus died for my sins. And I can have eternal life with him. Easy believism. Anyhow, my old fire and brimstone Baptist preacher. That man, his name was Dr. Winifred Moore. Yeah, we all went as a family. I had an uncle that was a Baptist preacher, and another uncle was a music minister in Memphis, Tennessee, for some church. I don't remember the church. But when my uncle that was a Baptist preacher got really bad with Alzheimer's and dementia. He was, even in his violent stage, I don't know if you know anything about all that, but they go through a violent stage. Even in his violent stage, somebody could sit down and start reading scripture to him, and he would stop what he was doing and start smiling. You could see the peace come over him. And it was pretty cool. But anyhow, yeah, we even started a charismatic Baptist church. Back when. That didn't last long. But anyhow, have a great weekend, Mike and Dave, Vaughn. I don't know if you can hear me or not, Vaughn, but Gracie moved to Tucson, Arizona. May the 2nd, middle of May, something like that. And they're taking care of his mother. Oh, hey, Carlos, come in. Well, none of us have her new phone numbers that I know of. She had lost her cell phone for a long time. And now that they moved to Arizona and are taking care of his mother, she stays pretty busy. And she does come on later at night sometimes. Floyd, they say hi.
Hi, my cake.
He says he wants cake. Yeah, that's tough, isn't it? Anyhow, Carlos, we just chatting. You got anything you need to get off your chest? Before Mike closes the room. Alright, Ed's done went to bed. I don't know if you knew that or not. Oh, okay. You got any ways to introduce people? I knew you said you had to work Saturday evening. Well, they salaried, Mike. And best I know, salaries are based on 50 to 60 hours a week, but you could still get overtime. Except most businesses now are just calling it personal time off compensation. So, Carlos, you got any ideas about inducing people to the right division? Who are you saying yes to, me or? You got your hand up? No. Hey, you want the mic? Give us some ideas. I'll drop it. Mic's free.
Well, we're joking about this lost interest thing, but that's what it is. That's what it is. You see their eyes glaze over. They've lost interest, right? They don't see it as relevant. Why do I need that? You ever heard somebody say, I don't need all that doctrine, just give me Jesus. Which sounds real spiritual, but it's not biblical at all. In fact, Paul never says anything like that. Just exactly the opposite. But yeah, no. It's not that they lost interest. Never had any to begin with. What got me there was all the questions I had over the years. I'd say, wait a minute, A plus, this is not adding up here. This is not adding up. So that's what worked for me. When I finally found it, I said, okay, that works. That makes sense. That answers my question. And so, I mean, I always saw it as relevant. I just didn't know how to get to the mystery because nobody was teaching it. You know, I wish I would have got it a lot sooner. I wasted a lot of time. So, okay, back to you.
Yeah, and it was brought up that they need to believe the gospel that Paul taught, whether they understood right division or not. And it occurs to me that some people have a lot of questions. Some people hadn't thought of anything about that and don't need to be confused with questions, you know. So yeah, and I think it was Dave. I'm not sure. It's one of them said that in each person is individual, and you have to find out where they're at. I think they used the term common ground. A book comes with everything you buy. If you don't read the book, you don't fully understand how it works. That's really true, you know, because the Bible is to us, but how many people, you know, my thinking when I ignored the Bible was that it's too big. I guess that was before I was saved, but how can I understand it? Where would I start? It'll take me years to read through it, and I'll have forgotten the first... You come up with all these excuses and let's see, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. Be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So it's God's will that they be saved. When they're disinterested, that's not God's will, that's the person's will or Satan's will. Welcome to the room, Mira. We're just discussing ways to introduce the truth to people, truth about salvation and Christ sending Paul with our later information about how to be saved. in Paul's epistles. And I think one thing, if they are questioning, one thing they need to understand is that Israel fell. God isn't working in the world through Israel anymore, for now anyway. For now, he's introduced us to the body of Christ through the salvation of Paul and the writings of Paul. And it's in the Bible. But sadly, people go by what they were told rather than what the Bible says. They don't, you know, they got this idea that the Bible's too big, I'll never understand it all, I'll listen to people that do, instead of realizing God is talking to you. In Paul's epistles, it's to us, not just about, you know, the rest of it's mostly about Israel, so that we understand the difference. Some good videos on how to share right division. Are they on his website? In a section there or something, I guess. Yeah. He's got a lot. And he's got notes too, doesn't he? I think he's got text notes that if you want to follow, or if you want to give a lesson, you could follow those notes. So, there we have it. To be continued. I don't see any hands up, so I'm going to go ahead and shut down. I was saying, though, for those that weren't here at the time, I'm going to plan on just doing one featured series at a time instead of doing the conference lessons and then trying to do the unbiblical misunderstandings lessons after that. That's too much to take in at once, I think. So we'll do the conference messages, which will take, I don't know how many, you know, how long, another week or so, and concentrate on those, which are excellent messages, I think. You know, there's a couple times that the difference between their point of view and ours shows up. But, you know, we can handle it because they don't have scripture for theirs. Anyway, and then after that series is done, we'll pick up again with the unbiblical misunderstandings series. A lot of Paul's pre-prison letters is only for Israeli converts. That's right. That's right. Jews and Greeks. In the synagogues that came up through Israel's doctrine and were the ones that Deuteronomy 31:26 talks about. I think that's the, isn't that the verse? Maybe that's not the verse. 32:20? Let me find it now that I brought it up. Deuteronomy 32:20, did I say? 21, 29. 32:21. I'll post that there. And that's prophecy. That's in prophecy. That's not the mystery. It did involve Paul, though. The Lord involved Paul from the mystery side of it. Israel, this is Israel's side that it's talking about here, though. Provoke them to anger? That's Israel. Provoke Israel to anger with a foolish nation. I will move them, Israel, to jealousy with them, those which are not a people. That's the Greeks. They're not a Greek nationality. They're Greeks, wisdom seekers. And seekers of the wisdom and knowledge of God, some of the ones that he's referring to there. So anyway, that's where, when we hear those differences, usually it doesn't matter, although you just simply can't understand Galatians and the tongues there in 1 Corinthians. You can't understand that if you don't understand that they were in a dispensation of the gospel to the Jews and the Greeks. and not yet into a dispensation of the grace of God. Although both of those were in the body of Christ, it's the same gospel message, it's just to different people, so it's a different name.